Emerson Show, it's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up at 1 o'clock. Listen to that. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll listen back to Friday's... we'll see how bad the damage is. At 1 o'clock, we'll listen back to Friday's audio with Cord and Fatboy.
Maybe we weren't that bad.
Yeah. We're always that bad.
Tell yourself that. Tell yourself that lie to get to sleep,
Sarah.
Worse. We'll listen back to that to Friday's Art Alexakis, Cord and Fatboy audio at 1. Let's see. Jim Roop is going to be joining us. 2 o'clock. I'm all over the map here. We'll have Peter Carlin next hour as well. And then the guy in the fursuit is coming in at some point. That's at 2 o'clock, right?
All right. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason you're here today at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
All right, we'll get to all the Super Bowl festivities in just a moment, but first, a quick check on what's happening around here. They found the body of a heavy-set African-American woman in her 30s floating in the Willamette today. Police in Medford hoping to get autopsy results on that frozen body found in the freezer. The problem is, the body's too frozen. It needs to thaw out. You just can't pop it into the microwave. It's going to have to sit outside for a while. Meanwhile, police say a 23-year-old man used a 100,000-volt stun gun multiple times to discipline his 18-month-old son. So he's in
where?
This happened in Albany.
Albany, Oregon?
Yeah, Albany, Oregon.
Seriously?
All right. Is this
an allegation so far?
Let's see. The mother brought the child in, so she's making the accusation.
Way to pick him. Way to be a man catcher.
Well done.
I hate people.
We all do.
With everything in me.
All right. Meanwhile, state troopers said drunk driving arrests over the Super Bowl weekend fewer than last year on Oregon roads. They busted 42 yesterday and Saturday. 14 more were made before noontime on Sunday.
Am I the only one that gets freaked out even when you're driving stone cold sober on a day like Super Bowl Sunday?
I do not drive.
I hate it.
No, stay off the road.
I get freaked out because, A, I'm always afraid I'm going to get killed by some nitwit crossing the center line. That guy.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I always just figure the cops are pulling over like one out of three. Yeah, that's my whole thing. You can tell my priorities lay. I don't really care if I die. I just don't want my insurance rates to go up. I just don't want to get a ticket. And you just assume. Because I got it fixed, but for a while I had one of those yellow lights in the parking lights on my car. One of those is out, and on a day like Super Bowl Sunday, they'll use any excuse like that. I'm not trying to knock the cops, but on a day when they know a lot of guys are going to be liquored up and just sauced up on the road,
right,
they'll use any excuse they have that they can find to pull over your car because it's like a numbers game. They know that X number of guys on the road are just tanked. So driving on a day like yesterday is just hell because I set the cruise control on every street. I make sure I don't even do 1 mile over the speed limit. You got to be like Mr. Defensive Driver because you know that and that's a creepy feeling too when you're on the road and you know that like a third of the people you're driving by are legally drunk. You know that a third of the people passing you on the road at a high rate of speed are absolutely completely plastered. It's just freaky.
So over to the fun stuff now. During the halftime show, Prince showed he still knows how to heat up the crowd. The 48-year-old singer took to the stage with rain coming down and belted out some of his classics like Purple Rain and Let's Go Crazy. Pop me up.
Yeah.
I am. Can't hear anything.
Six. Mm-hmm. I have the cuts loaded over here as a backup plan.
Let's see here. How about one of those little black buttons? Pick anyone.
I know.
Maybe I should just sing the Prince song.
All right,
let's try Prince.
Singing
classics like
Purple Rain. I was trying to do Prince.
We got another day to get through.
It's still nothing.
What's happening?
I don't know.
I have the same buttons pushed in that I did last week.
For the love of sweet God Almighty!
Wait,
All right, let's start again.
I'm sorry.
Take us all in.
We're fine.
Never mind.
Right.
So Prince is the rain is falling, and he belted out some of his classic tunes like Purple Rain and Let's Go Crazy.
And I know that he gets tired of it being told this, but Purple Rain is just one of the best records ever.
Mm-hmm.
Purple Rain is one of the best albums.
I want to rent that movie.
Oh, man, it's a terrible film, but I love it. I mean, Purple Rain really is a bad film. I was talking to... Because you know who'd never seen Purple Rain is Joni DeRoshi. She'd never seen it until her boyfriend showed it to her.
What's wrong with her?
She's retarded. Nothing's wrong with her. She just hadn't seen it. It's not a very good film. You watch it and you're just sort of like, oh boy, this is awkward. And Prince can't act.
I hope Prince isn't sitting in the kitchen right now.
He has a special guest appearance coming up this afternoon. He's just microwaving something. Anyway, Purple Rain is a terrible film, but God, it's satisfying to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a really, I mean, without Purple Rain, there'd be no 8 Mile, too. So, I mean, it really is like Flashdance, but with Prince.
How good is 8 Mile? I watched that again this past weekend.
8 Mile's a pretty great film.
I love that movie.
Purple Rain is great because of Morris Day and the Time, by the way. Morris Day is fantastic. I don't know why that guy didn't have a bigger career. Anyway, Let's Go Crazy is just one of the greatest songs. And do we have, what is this next cut here?
Purple Rain.
Okay.
The Super Bowl halftime show.
Let's go ahead and play this.
All right.
Sarah, do you have Purple Rain on your jukebox?
Purple Rain, Purple Rain.
This is the best song ever.
Prince sings Ike and Tina Turner's Proud Mary during the Super Bowl halftime show. Prince belts out the Foo Fighters tune, Best of You, at the Super Bowl.
How weird is it that he did this,
by the way?
I like
that. That sounded really cool.
It was really cool. I thought this was going to suck. I thought it was going to be terrible. I thought it would be mediocre. And, man, you should never second-guess a guy like that, because he is one of those guys that just has so much talent when he wants to turn it on. And it's like sometimes he can't even be bothered. Sometimes, you know, he's like one of those Zappa guys that just, I mean, his fingernail clippings are full of talent, and it's just a question of whether he wants to, you know, whether he wants to put the effort in, and when he does, man, he just blows everybody away. It's just fantastic. Alright, so this is,
Best of You.
Okay, this is
the
Foo Fighters. Fantastic.
Billy Joel sings the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner.
Well, this is tedious. He does sound retarded. You're right. You really accept it would have to. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to pull me into making fun of Art Alexakis more.
No, I'm just saying.
There'd be a lot of, like, land of the free. Whoa. Yeah. And there'd be, like, a part in the middle where they go, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. We should just record a whole series of songs as though they were by Everclear. That's too late for that joke. You've heard it too soon. It's too late. That joke is too late. Billy Joel sounds drunk. He sounds drunk and retarded and sort of like your hideous uncle at the Christmas party when he starts pounding on the keyboard.
Can we hear that one more time?
Can you play that again, Tim? It really is pretty terrible.
Well, all right.
There he is.
Oh, say does that star.
Okay, can you stop this for a second? Here's the thing about this. Does it sound like it's being played too well, by which I mean it's like too well. Dun, dun,
too well.
Dun, 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 dun. It's like he's so, like, there's no fluidity to it. It's like he's just, he's trying so hard. Like,
oh. Sing my numbers.
All right, Joel. Okay, next. A, F, B sharp. You know, he's singing so woodenly that it's like he's desperately trying to keep it together. I think he's drunk. All right, we can play this one more time. But he really falls apart about halfway through. No,
he doesn't doesn't sound like a singer.
No, that's bad. No, I mean, it sounds all wooden. He does sound like some guy that would be at a bar. Yeah, that's not very impressive at all.
No, he won't be invited back next year.
No, screw him. And also, the problem with that is, the problem with singing the national anthem is, ever since the first person, like 30 years ago, decided to do that, you know, land free, and then they, like, kick it up online, now you always expect everybody to do that, right? On the land of the free. And then when somebody doesn't do that, then it just sounds like it's missing something. Let me just talk about Purple Rain, though, for a second, and just say...
You're obsessed.
No, Purple Rain, I've said this repeatedly, Purple Rain is the definitive, I mean, in terms of pop and what a rock and so forth, I mean, not like, you know... I mean, there's metal and there's all kinds of other genres. But in terms of just pure pop and rock, Purple Rain is the definitive 1980s song. It is the best song of the 1980s. If you had to, in other words, if the 1980s, how shall I put this? What is the gayest analogy I can find? If the 1980s were a high school dance, that would be the final song. It, to sum up the entire decade. If you were bringing down the curtain on the entire decade of the 80s, if the 80s were somewhere that were a prom, and you had to find one song to wrap it up, closing credits, final bow, curtain, and goodnight, it's Purple Rain. Purple Rain is the best song of the 90s, or the 80s, period. Period. Hands down, in the pop music world, anyway. And there's a billion great good songs from the 80s. There are a billion songs that are fantastic, but Purple Rain is the best. Just like in the 90s, I believe it is that Tonight Tonight song by the Smashing Pumpkins, which I know sounds strange coming from me. But that is for the alternative era, Tonight Tonight by the Smashing Pumpkins, to me, is the best that
that's
ever produced.
Still one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard.
Tonight Tonight? Oh,
yeah.
It's fantastic.
I like the moon in the video.
That video is why I fell in love with that
point
song.
Point to you for even knowing that, Tim Riley.
I know you're in the news department.
No, I'm just saying that the news department knows the Smashing Pumpkins. That's like the Bob Costantini knowing Death Cab for Cutie. Blah, blah, blah. All right. Here's what I'm looking at the screen. Scotty's peculiar call screening method. This line here. Out of whack comment. What does that mean? Out of whack comment. Scotty, what does it mean that there's an out of whack comment? Please to be defining... he can't hear me because we're on a 40-second delay. Oh, for the love of...
Why can't we get him the radio without a delay?
They will. They're just busy getting the phones to work. Busy waiting for Everclear's technical writer to arrive. Hello. Oh, God. All right, here we go. Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Jerry. Jerry.
I think he's on a 40-second delay.
Jerry. Jerry. We can make it if we try. Last chance. One, two, and goodbye. All right. Nick, hello, sir.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's up, Nick?
Well, I'd first like to say, if my high school graduation was 2006, it would have been a segment of your show. Also, do you have the clip from the guy proposing to his girl from the commercial for the Super Bowl?
Oh, you know, I didn't even see that one, actually.
Neither did I. I missed it.
What was the name of the sponsor?
What was the resolution of that? Well, there was a guy who paid $2.5 million, Likas did a whole day on it, a guy who paid $2.5 million for a spot in which he was going to propose to his girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
And I never even saw the resolution, and everybody thought it was a scam. Everybody thought it was like a fake thing. It was going to end up being a spot for some, that it was really going to end up being an ad for something. I actually don't even know the resolution of that. That's how busy this world is in terms of media overload. I've already forgotten about that guy. I don't even know what happened with that. Did you see it, or did you not see it at all?
I was listening to Tom Likas, and he was on there being interviewed and saying how it wasn't a scam and he was going to do it.
Yeah, the guy came on Tom's show and claimed he was all on the up and up, that he was really going to ask his girlfriend to marry him on live on the Super Bowl in this. But what I don't understand is the guy's on Likas, he's on a national, and the girl didn't know. That's the thing, is somehow this whole time the girl didn't know, and there's the guy on Tom Likas going, "Hi, Tom, here's my real voice, I'm going to be asking my girlfriend to marry me in the Super Bowl." Everybody's talking about it, and somehow the girl, I don't know if the girl was like being kept in a footlocker or something, it's like, I don't know how she wouldn't have known.
My wife said the same thing, she wanted to know how anyone couldn't recognize, because every time I call 95.5 early in the morning to make a comment, she always recognizes my voice, and she couldn't understand how the chick didn't recognize his voice.
All right, thank you.
2.5 million flushed.
Oh, I see. Is this a wacky radio call?
No, $2.5 million flushed down the drain.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought this was like a 95.5 listener was going to jack us around. No, I don't know if it ended up being. I don't know if it ended up being a real spot or not. I don't know. Well, Tim, we'll look into it. Somebody will call us and
tell us. Tim Riley can find anything.
Well, be listening. Yeah. Somebody will call and clarify it for us. So
wonderful.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Nick. All right, there you go. That's Nick. Yeah, I don't know. The guy was on Lycus talking about it.
I haven't even heard about that.
It's just become so hard to differentiate yourself when it comes to the, spots. Scott, hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up?
Hey, I just was agreeing with you on that French stuff. I mean, that is an awesome song. You know, even from the delay at the beginning with the vocals, you know, rain. I mean, all that stuff was awesome.
I know he spent his whole career trying to get away from that one album, but man, it's it's fantastic.
But he's you know, he's a really underrated guitar player too.
Totally.
Like, a lot of those licks and stuff he plays, he's got some good chops.
Totally. I remember how old would I have been when Purple Rain came out? Well, I was in high school, I think, or getting ready to go into high school, and I had some guitar player friends. Remember all the guitar breakdown he does at the end of Let's Go Crazy, and my guitar playing friends were like, dude, that is so badass, you know, and everybody thought, and I mean, the great thing about Prince is the same thing that kind of limits his fame in some ways, is that he doesn't do the same thing over and over again. He does, I used to date this girl that was a Prince fanatic, and just all of these albums that I've never even heard of, I mean, like the Black Album, and just a bunch of albums that, like, I didn't even know existed, and he is like Frank Zappa. He just does such a huge swath of styles. But yeah, Purple Rain, that song and that album and his performance of it, that's as good as it gets right there. I mean, that's as good as rock and roll gets.
You guys all have a good day.
Thank you, Scott.
Talk later.
There you go. That's Scott. Fantastic. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, the stars in the sky were blocked by rain during the Super Bowl, but plenty of real stars made themselves visible. Nick Lachey says he, like many celebrities, likes Florida, and he likes the Super Bowl also.
Super Bowl is always a good weekend, but especially in, you know, South Florida, it's everything's kind of gone up a notch this year, so it's been a lot of fun, yeah.
Actor John Travolta also likes the Super Bowl.
You know, I live in Florida, but I love the Super Bowl, and I love being here.
Chris Isaac also likes the Super Bowl.
We're doing good. I'm just keeping an eye up here. I'm actually double-timing as bodyguard for Bruce Willis and Demi Moore.
Jenna McCarthy likes the Super Bowl.
First of all, I'm from Chicago, so need I say anything more?
Oh, God. Your 15 minutes were up like a year and a half ago.
Why is she still around?
Jenny McCarthy, and a year and a half ago is being generous. A year and a half ago, she at least had that book she was putting out. Wasn't she putting out some diet book?
I believe so.
Jenny McCarthy's...
Nobody cares about her.
Boy, man.
She's sleeping with Jim Carrey, I think that's why anyone...
Now?
Yeah, they've been dating for a while.
I didn't know that.
Nobody cares about that? Then, well, maybe Jim Carrey.
No, Jenny McCarthy. What an odd...
The girl used to...
Singled out,
yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's just strange. Let's stop and think about Jenny McCarthy for a second, because the weird thing is, A, I haven't thought about her forever. B, Jenny McCarthy really is the very definition of an American success story, because other than Singled Out, what did she do?
Wasn't she like a Playboy bunny?
She was. I had to actually stop and think to myself for a second about whether she posed nude in Playboy or not. But she did. She was the Playmate of the Year. That's right. She was the Playmate of the Year because I had that issue. And how sad that I don't remember because of her. I remember because it was a Garth Brooks interview. Playboy does the definitive interview, in my opinion. And Garth Brooks did a really, really good Playboy interview. And it was the same issue that had her as Playmate of the Year. So she was Playmate of the Year. Then she was on Singled Out. And then she did that thing that they all do where she tried to jump from Singled Out. It's like jumping from porn to regular movies. Tried to jump from Singled Out to, like, mainstream. And then what did she do, though?
She was in this terrible movie. Oh, I cannot remember what it's called.
She's been in a bunch of terrible films. Wasn't she in one of those scary movie films?
She was. She was in the second one.
Yeah.
And Scream, too, I think.
And then she did that movie Diamonds? Didn't she do, and then she married the 80-year-old guy? Isn't that not, light, I mean, not the same one that Anna Nicole Smith married, but didn't she do the same thing? She married some old gray-haired guy?
Oh, she may.
And then she dyed her hair black?
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking she was kind of hot when she had that black hair for like a day. That's so weird to me now that I think back. What a strange thing to have lived through, the rise and fall of Jenny McCarthy, who has no skills. Has no demonstrable talents or abilities.
She couldn't even get a temp job.
No,
her life depended on it.
Her whole thing was sticking out her tongue at the end of Singled Out. That's what it was. That was what made her popular.
I like pretending to stick her fingers in her nose because she was crazy.
Because she was edgy. She wasn't all girly with her, like, big fake boobs and her bright blonde hair. She was different. She was cut from a different cloth.
It was the same old thing.
She was no Kennedy.
No.
All right. I wonder what Kennedy's doing these days. Remember Kennedy from MTV?
She was doing a talk show in Seattle.
She was doing a talk show in Seattle. She's one of the reasons she job blocked me. She talk blocked me. Kennedy is one of the reasons that it's not like it came down to the wire, like Rick Emerson or Kennedy. But there was a talk gig in Seattle.
Awesome. She had a guest starring role on Silk Stockings.
Jenny McCarthy?
Uh-huh.
Silk Stockings. That was the best show.
I loved that show.
I loved that show. That was fantastic. No, there was a talk gig in Seattle that I was up for at one point. I mean, clearly, I don't know, like that didn't come out of the wire or anything. But they're like, they ended up going with Kennedy instead. And then now she's gone. And then she was on the Game Show Network for a while. Kennedy was on the Game Show Network. I remember thinking Kennedy was hot. Not my type at all physically, but I remember thinking Kennedy on MTV was hot because she was a Republican, and she had the GOP elephant tattooed on one of her inner thighs. And I thought that was kind of sexy at the time. Less so now. I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I thought it was just hot that she was sort of like, just sort of in your face about it. But now I realize I don't really care. Well, let's move on. Let's see here. Pat, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, you know what I was wondering about, thinking of on the halftime entertainment or even the opening anthem and so forth?
Mm.
If CBS or whomever this network is carrying it, if they said to a certain, like a big-name group, if they said, well, let's, if instead of the appearance fee, or if a group said to them, instead of paying us the appearance fee, why don't you just donate it to World Hunger or something, I think you could get away from the Justin Timberlake and some of the lesser quality talents that you've had. Like, for instance, Pink Floyd, okay, what was it, a year ago last July, played in London.
Oh, it's a Live Aid thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, when you get to a certain point, an iconic status, you have all the money you need, and if you've got a cause like a U2 or a Pink Floyd or something like that, I think that they would.
Oh, you mean, okay, so if they took some big rock act and pandered to one of their dumb pet charities?
Well, yeah, you could call it that, but I mean, I think the stuff like that Bono's doing and some of these other things, I mean, they're admirable.
Well, okay.
Charities.
Okay. Well, on that, we can, yes, and...
we can agree to disagree.
We'll agree on that, Pat. Let's agree to disagree, Pat. There you go. Pat and I are agreeing. Thank you for the call,
Pat. People continue to starve and die.
Thank you.
Regardless of how many concerts.
Pat and I are agreeing to disagree on some topic that is known to him, but not to me. It's 5. I have no idea where that was going. I just was into that, and I just lost all my bearings. I was flying on instruments there. It's 503-733-200. No, and nothing helps. That nothing gets better, nothing changes. That's kind of the official motto of the Rick Emerson Show. Nothing changes, nothing gets better. It's like, what is that Onion headline? 2,000 runners fail to find cure for breast cancer. There you go. That's it. That's the world. That's the world you live in. Let's see. Well, these calls seem to be going poorly. We're gonna skip some of these for a while. We're gonna stay away from the phones for a few. If you're on hold, you just hang tight. We'll get back to you just a skosh. Here's Tim Riley.
Lindsay Lohan heading for trouble. The recovering drug and alcohol addict was spotted not once but twice nightclubbing over the weekend. Paris Hilton says, quote, "This bitch is begging for a relapse," unquote.
What? Who said that about who?
Perez Hilton.
I hate that guy. I thought he was being sued into oblivion.
It doesn't help or hurt.
Time.
All right. Well, all right. I'm just the thing about is this the Lindsay Lohan, the one who's what she's like in she's having McDonald's or something catered into her rehab?
When she goes to rehab.
Yeah, when she,
oh, did she sent out the text message that said all she wants is McDonald's and sex?
Yeah.
She was sending out to random guys.
Why don't I ever get those text messages? All I need is a Big Mac and some plowing. Please, please be getting back to me now. Imagine being a guy and Lindsay Lohan text messages you with that. And that's a girl you keep around, you know what I mean? Rick, I don't know if you caught it or not, but did you notice during your Lisa Goddard interview, she mentioned she told her friends that she lost points with you for eating spinach on her pizza? I didn't notice that, no. This means she was going on about you over a weekend to what are presumably hot mathlete friends. I bet she doesn't bring up any other radio shows in her off time. No, Rick, just you. I didn't really notice that, but thank you for pointing it out, sir. All right. Rick, dude, you're entirely out of your effing mind on the quintessential 80s song. Purple Rain, why not just say Final Countdown by Europe? There are probably 50 other songs I could easily say are more impactful on the 80s conscience. conscience. I'm presuming he means... And by the way, this is from whose email address is furick@blank.com.
Are you kidding?
No, his email address is furick@... conscience, I'm presuming he means consciousness, then Purple Rain. I graduated... spelled with an M. In 1989, I was a total... Okay, I'm done reading this. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Well, we should break here. We're still behind. Let's break. Oh, and we'll find out what happened to Kennedy, and we'll find out what happened to the proposing guy, and also Clyde Lewis, plus more of Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. At 1 o'clock, we'll play the unpleasant Art Alexakis audio from Friday. We got Jim Roop coming up, Peter Carlin, Scotty J, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. You stay there. Through Rick Emerson. Short or whatever. To fool the masses. All right, hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Peter Carlin, Penny Oregonian, Jim Roop, Scotty J's top five songs to which he gets down and makes love. What else? And we have some guy in a fursuit who's going to come in and hug me later. I guess, for a copy of this DVD. We have another, and we'll be giving away another copy of this as well. Now on DVD, Farce of the Penguins, the Six Craze World of Penguins. Is exposed in a comedic spoof that crosses every line, written and directed by Bob Saget. Narrated by Samuel L. Jackson. Out on DVD now, also feature Christina Applegate, Tracy Morgan, Lewis Black, rated R. It's 503-733-2970. We return to Tim Riley in just a moment, these phone calls as well. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show, from ClydeLewis.com, host of the Ground Zero Lounge, Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
You know, Bob Saget is a very disgusting individual.
He is. There's a lot of... I mean, that's become kind of the thing, right? Is that everybody knew him for being so squeaky clean, and now the thing everybody knows about him is that he's the squeaky clean guy who's really just a pervert.
Yeah.
So it's a whole video of penguin effing. I swear to God, it's 50 minutes of penguins having sex. And
he's the Bob Crane of the new millennium.
They sent it to one of the other stations in the building before realizing that it was... They started to give them away, and they were giving them away to, like, children. Like, here you go, have penguins. Penguins. And then some kids are like, one of the penguins is hurting the other one. And, you know, and then they brought it back, and then they realized it was just nothing but penguin sex, and so they gave it to us.
No wonder penguins have happy feet.
No, there you go.
They have happy everything.
Not happy feet, no.
No, not at all.
What's up with you, Clyde Lewis?
Well, I get an email from Aaron Duran this morning. I just can't keep up with all the UFO reports all over the country.
Who can?
Seems like that just, I mean, scores of people all over the central United States reported seeing flames and fiery explosions in the sky Sunday night. Calls flooded 9/11 operators and area police departments of Missouri Highway Patrol said. Callers described the spectacle in various ways, some saying it looked like a plane crash, others calling it a ball of fire in the sky. Wow. Excuse me. What was that, anyway? That big explosion in the sky. Anybody see it? I didn't see it.
They're fireworks.
Is that what they are?
Yes.
Or flares?
Yes.
They say it what do you think of the...
it's a weather balloon.
No. You know what they said it was? It was meteors again.
Yeah, but I mean...
It's all meteors. Every one of them is a meteor. We're being bombarded, literally hit by meteors.
But that's probably true.
How so? There's no meteor showers on the books right now.
You know, there's meteors happening. Meteors hit the planet all the time.
Not meteors are all the size of VW buses.
The Earth, there's a bunch of crap in space. We're right in the middle of it.
You know what else they're doing? They're firing on satellites up in space, too. They're using laser cannons. They're gonna have a laser war in space soon. I talked about this at the Ground Zero Lounge. We've been talking about this for like weeks.
There are no laser cannons.
There are laser cannons. Big, huge, amazing laser cannons. Canada. You know who's firing them?
I swear to God, I don't know. I don't know when you're screwing with me and when you're not. There are no laser wars happening in space.
Oh, yes, there are.
He's screwing with you.
You're screwing with me.
No, you can look it up online. There are laser wars going on everywhere.
Are you drunk?
No.
You sound a little drunk.
Maybe I'm hungover. I don't know. I went to a Super Bowl party last night. And, you know.
When is the last drink you had?
Let me me think. It had to have been right before bed, about 9, 10 o'clock last night.
Okay.
All I was doing something that resembled antifreeze. It probably was antifreeze for all I know.
Fantastic. Well, it's good that you're going to be in front of the masses tonight.
Yeah, well, I won't be drinking. I mean, I have.
You here. Won't be drinking? Why yeah, do you, how right. do you lie like that?
I'm not going to be drinking that much.
Uh-huh.
Right. I will be drinking a bit. You know, here's something really strange.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that they're setting the clocks ahead on March 11th?
Yeah, well, they're changing daylight savings time, right?
Now, yes. Now,
yeah, I've been screwed with my whole sense of order.
Yeah, well, there's some numerological significance to that. I'm going to talk about it at the lounge tonight. Why in the world are they doing this? They're doing it because they want to send out an occult signature. They want to change our time. There's something going down that they have to change the time. World War II, they started daylight savings time for a reason, and now there's going to be another huge deal going down where they have to change it again.
Now I know you're screwing with me.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you right now, we'll probably be at war with Iran probably by the 24th of February.
I suspect that, okay, but here's the thing. That would probably happen. They don't really need to change the time for us to go to war with Iran. I don't know if you've been paying attention.
Sure they do.
I don't know if you're keeping up on current events. They don't really need to even ask permission.
Why do they need to change time, Clyde?
Oh, because they need to conserve energy. That's why they're doing it.
He hates these kids.
Yeah. Drunk.
Yeah, you are completely drunk.
No, I'm serious. They need to conserve energy.
Who is they, and why do they need to conserve energy?
The governments need to conserve energy because there's going to be a huge laser war. It's going to be, I'm not kidding you, a laser war is in the works. They're going to fire lasers above our heads, and you're going to watch stuff fall out of the sky. It's already happening now. Satellites, rockets. I mean, they just had a rocket come down over Colorado a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happening. You don't buy it, but it's true. And I'm telling you now, it's going to be a big laser war between the aliens and us, and it's going to be a scary thing.
You are so drunk. I should have revised it.
Are you hot?
I was just going to say, that's what I was going to say. When is the last time you put an intoxicant in your body?
When was it?
Are you waking him, Bacon?
Am I what?
Are you waking him, Bacon?
No, I don't do that.
When is it? What is the last?
I did do it when I was in L.A.
When is the last time you put an intoxicant in your body, Clyde?
It had been like right before bedtime.
Mm-hmm. And that was just alcohol.
Alcohol and Snickers bars. Does that cause a problem?
Alcohol and Snickers bars. That's where you give me the two, and I figure out the third one myself.
I also played Wii bowling last night and threw my arm out.
Wii bowling.
Yeah.
Is that where you move the ball with your urine?
No. It's where I was using one of those controllers, the Wii game.
Oh, I see. One of them.
And I was bowling, and I threw my arm out.
Okay.
That hurts bad, but anyway, no, I'm not kidding you when I tell you there's something going down. Why? Okay, here's something to think about. Why did they care about these little light brights all over Boston? Think about that. Why did they care? They didn't look like bombs. Yeah, it was a bomb scare.
Because it's the government and they're not very smart.
Well, they're not very smart, or they're tipped off.
Or they're very smart.
Or they're tipped off about something strange that's in the works right now.
Yes.
And something's going down, and it will go down, and it will be weird, and it will be funky, and it will be the lizard people.
Okay,
hold on.
We're going to go away now, Brad.
Okay, no, I'm going to tell you one thing before
I go. No, this is gold.
I got to tell you something before I go.
Okay,
yeah,
ready? All right.
There's a new movie coming out called The Day Called X, and I'm in it along with the Klingon karaoke people. And guess who else is in it?
So hot.
Rick Emerson's in it.
Really?
Yes. And apparently it's supposed to be really funny. Your appearance is funny in this.
Is that in everybody's copy or just in the special print that plays inside Clyde Lewis's mind?
No, it's in everybody's copy. It's going to be showing at the Lomba Film Festival.
I don't remember being interviewed for this film.
You don't?
No.
Are you going to sue?
Yeah, I'm going to sue. Yeah, I'm going to put my foot down. I'm all pissed off.
Clyde, what's Rick doing in the movie?
I have no idea. I was told that he's in it, and I was told it's supposed to be really funny, and I was told I was supposed to mention it. I guess they think that I'm not big enough of a draw for the film.
I
really have to put Rick in there.
I'm not in the movie.
Yeah, you are in the movie.
I'm not. Clyde, okay.
You are in the film.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you just special wine that you set aside for Clyde?
I'm reaching for the button.
The special what?
Nothing.
Okay. I will be at Dante's tonight speaking at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
They also show films before I come up. That, like, I don't know what they're showing this week. Something like maybe Loose Change or some Terror Storm film or something scary. Just get people in the mood.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Think Alien War. Think lasers. Think.
We gotta go.
Oh, you don't like this.
We have to go.
Okay, I'm sorry. I will go back to my medication.
Thank you, Clyde.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye, Clyde.
Okay. Wow, so you're in a...
Jesus Christ.
You're in a day called X.
Yeah.
They're going to start finding X's all over town now.
Well, that's Clyde Lewis. Isn't it a day called X from 1950-something,
yeah,
Sam?
50-something.
How can I be...
I don't want to ask Clive this. I want to poke holes in his theory.
Well, they can put you back in the picture.
We were just talking about this the other day. The Day Called X is a movie that was made like in the 1950s.
Hosted by Glenn Ford.
Yeah, it's a movie in which they simulate what would happen to Portland if there was like a full-scale atomic war or some kind.
And everyone cooperated and got out of town.
It's one of those government, like, duck and cover public education films.
So, please, everyone quietly in single file, go to Beaverton.
Or you will be incinerated.
And people did.
The duck and cover thing is great because it implies that, like, putting an extra 12 inches between you and the bomb will save your life.
The only people who matter can go underground.
I'm not in that movie. I don't remember being interviewed for any Clyde. But first of all, like I said, the film is from like 1955.
Could be a cameo appearance.
How is it that I can, unless they just crudely pasted my head.
They took you like one of our things off of YouTube or something.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know what Clyde is talking about. Clyde is even more disturbed than normal today because I have no idea.
Oh, maybe they'll put you in front of the old coin microphone and take the guy in it, out of it, and put you in it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Not like I'm pissed off or whatever, but I'm in no film.
I know how you feel.
And I
film? I have no film.
And I like how in Clyde's world, as somebody's pointed out, I think in Clyde's world, real is something you can look up online. Rick, the government is conserving energy to prepare for, quote, a huge laser war. Are they storing the saved energy in gigantic energizer batteries? Just curious. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, let's take a couple calls here, and then we'll continue with Tim Riley. Let's see. This is... Okay.
The laser war has begun.
This is Mike. Hello. Mike. I think line
he's
one.
The first victim.
Line is just a cinder. If you just cut to his house, you just a pile of ash by the phone. Mike. All right, I think line one might be. This is might be a line one thing. He said he gets a great MTV idea for me. Well, now we'll never know. All right.
Hello. Victim number three.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I can barely hear you. Hello.
Hi.
Is this Rick?
Yes.
Hey, Kennedy, your buddy Kennedy, want to know what happened to her?
From MTV, yeah.
Sadly, it was like about a month ago on a Saturday night. My wife was flipping through the channels, and they had the Reality TV Stars Award show. And guess who was hosting it?
Oh, no.
I walked through the room, and I heard that voice like, that sounds like Kennedy. And it was just a train wreck of drunken nobodies, like somewhere in Florida. And she was like trying to do like the professional, you know, being the host of, you know, you think it was the Academy Awards. And it was hilarious.
And there was a time when she would have known to make fun of that.
She was doing it very subtly, but I had a feeling it was more like, I need the money and I need the job. So, you know, I think she might be affiliated. There's a channel. I think there's a reality channel where they rerun all this garbage, and I think she might be affiliated with that.
Anyway, they rerun all the garbage. What a rookie endorsement.
Exactly. That's, you know, I want to see that
with all the trash and crap on it.
And you need a host. You need somebody that's going to anchor that to be the anchor of that garbage. But,
God.
It was bad. Yes. And it was like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, it went on forever.
How many awards could there be to give out in a reality?
Well, they did. It was done in, you know, tongue in cheek, where they were, you know, the best bad guy, the best kiss went to like two gay guys that were kissing on some show. But the best part was is they were all drinking.
Of course.
Well, yeah, was drinking.
How could you get through your life otherwise?
I don't watch this stuff, but the guys that were, I can't remember his name, is Mike Money or Mike Boogie, and this other guy, they were on there, and they were wearing like the Dumb and Dumber powder blue tuxedos, and just, they won like four awards, and every time they got up, they were drunker than they were. That was the best part of the whole thing. And Kennedy's just kind of standing there, you know, like, don't hurt me. And she kind of looks like Kennedy's mom now.
I hope she got paid. Well, yeah, I was going to ask if she was so cute.
She's a lot less hair and squinting. I think she had some kind of contact. She wasn't wearing the Kennedy glasses like she used to wear.
Yeah.
But I just sat there. I told my wife, of course, never MTV or anything. She's like, who is this? And I'm like, Oh, how far you can fall.
Yeah, she used to matter, honey.
So there you go. Don't feel so bad if she edged you out. I think you're in better shape than she is at this point now.
How sad is that? All right, thank you, Greg.
Bye-bye.
There you go, Greg. Yeah, because Kennedy came to MTV, like all of them did, from K-Rock, from KROQ in Los Angeles, where she was a DJ, I believe. She was the Virgin Kennedy. That's what she called herself. She did late nights at KROQ. Which, and so the fact, I guess it shouldn't surprise me, because the number of DJs who try to be talk show hosts and suck is legion. But, I mean, she tried to do this show in Seattle. It was a big radio market. The show was just terrible. It was awful. I mean, not like this show is, not like this show is the gold standard, but, I mean, come on.
It's a lot more deserving.
It really is. It really is. It's true. If only everybody shared your opinion, Tim Riley.
I know.
Actually, if everybody shared your opinion, we would not be here in the great city of Portland, Oregon, which actually did turn out for the best of all possible things that they passed over me. But yeah, they're like, yeah, we're going to go with this Kennedy girl from MTV. And it's like, I knew at the time, like, well, that's a terrible decision.
Who wants to live in Seattle anyway? Once you see the fish being caught, what else is there to do except find the exit?
That's it. Just sit there in traffic. Wish you were dead. Anyway, 503-733-2970.
We don't need fish to attract people.
Spend 2 hours waiting for a boat to take you to an island where it's like 1952 and there's nothing to eat. Man, have you ever done that? If you're going to Seattle, I don't know, let's go hang out on Bainbridge Island for a day. There's nothing on Bainbridge. There's no reason to go there. Laura and I did that one time. I think it was Bainbridge Island, one of the islands. We went there. We're like, let's go hang out there all day.
It has a little town area well next to the ferry.
I suppose.
And the interior of the Great Northern from Twin Peaks is actually in a hotel on Bainbridge Island.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. So we just wandered around and paid a lot for some bacon at a restaurant.
What town is the moose that ran through the downtown up there?
What are we talking about?
Northern Exposure.
Is that Seattle?
That's Roslyn. But the moose actually is in WSU in the Stuffed Animal Museum.
This is a whole conversation I can't take part in because I never watched Northern Exposure.
Oh, we're talking about Northwest Tourism.
No, I know that Northern Exposure is one of those shows I'm supposed to have watched, but I just never did. It's out on DVD. I guess I should watch it now. It's part of my cultural literacy that I'm lacking. Because it has John Corbett, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on Sex and the City, wasn't he?
He sure was.
Yeah. And he was on Lucky, too, which is a great show on FX. Rick, laser cannons do exist, says this phone call.
Well, let them do their thing.
I was just going to say, I could take the call and learn more about it, or I could just sort of take what I know now and move on. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Hi. Are you by a train?
Airport.
All right, what's up?
Well, I'm at home now, like Friday night, watching MTV. The show comes on called Exposed. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it.
Sarah probably has.
Well, it's one of those, eliminate type things, except they got everybody hooked up to a voice stress analyzer, which amounts to a wireless polygraph.
Right.
And the idea just clicked in my head, we ought to hook something like that up over C-SPAN just for kicks and giggles.
Oh, I see. Do a thing where you hook politicians up to a lie detecting machine.
Yeah, well, they don't know that they're hooked up to.
Oh, that's an interesting idea, actually. That is a funny idea.
That's what I thought. I thought you guys would like to be the first to hear it.
That is funny, actually. I don't know why somebody hasn't done that. Okay, now, forgive me, because I paused there because I had no idea what the hell you were talking about. You're all like, for kicks and giggles, we ought to do blah, blah, blah. And I'm all like, what? I think I'm under-caffeinated. No, now that I think about it, that's a really good idea, but that's actually so good that you think it has to have been done by now, where somebody hooks up a voice lie detector to C-SPAN to watch politicians just sling their garbage. That has to have been done. That's actually a genius idea, sir. You ought to patent that right now.
Well, I'm thinking about it. The thing that came to me next would be that if Bush got up there and started talking, it'd stay in the green the whole time.
Yeah, no, it would just explode. Yeah, no, because here's the thing. No, the thing about that is it would stay. It wouldn't, because it's like that guy has no idea. He thinks he's telling the God's honest truth.
That was my point.
It'd stay
in the green the whole time because he believes every word he says.
Jesus is speaking through him. All right, excellent.
Well, I'll get you back to work, Rick.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's a great idea. Hooking up a lie detector, a voice lie detector. They sell those at Sharper Image to C-SPAN. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
And I'm sure C-SPAN would do a promotion for us.
No, I don't know why somebody hasn't done that. You wouldn't even need their permission to do it because it's a feed C-SPAN is already getting.
Well, that is true.
C-SPAN really ought to do that. They ought to look into that. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, Turner Broadcasting has agreed to pay $2 million in a show of goodwill for a marketing scheme that backfires, sending Boston into a terror alert frenzy.
Seriously, F Boston. I mean, the whole city filled with idiots. I mean, it's...
My sister lives there.
No, but I mean, but
there.
She's not from... Okay, sorry. Did you go to school there?
Yeah.
I thought you went to school in, what's it, Pawtucket or whatever, New Hampshire.
Well, prep school I did, and then my 1 year of college was in Boston.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were so continental. I didn't know you'd done the whole East Coast tour. Mm-hmm. And then Sarah's sister Heather lives there.
Who's actually going to be here in a couple weeks. I'm going to bring her on the show.
Really?
The 17th.
Fantastic. 16th. I apologize now for the flood of lascivious picture requests that will flood your inbox.
Oh, she's adorable.
Here's the thing about that, though. You guys aren't from Boston, though, so I can say this. Now, Kristen's kind of from Boston, so I apologize. But F Boston, because the same thing happened in Seattle. And they knew it was a gag. You know what I mean? Like it with the Moon, you know, the Aqua Teen, you know, the little neon boxes, the Aqua Teen Hunger Force things. Everybody in Seattle was like, oh, look at that. Wah, wah, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And, you know, let's go on with our day. I mean, however much we may knock Seattle for this or that, they looked at it and they went, oh, it's a kooky gag. Let's get back to work. But in Boston, it was like, let's blow it up. Yeah, I mean, they called out like the National Guard. And how stupid do you have to be? How dumb do you have to be to look at something, to look at that and immediately assume that it's up, and that they charge those guys with perpetrating a hoax, which is equally retarded, if not more so, because as Tim Savage noted this weekend on the Timnasium, a hoax is when you label something bomb, and then it's just a box full of, like, sausage. Mm-hmm. That's not a hoax. If something is unlabeled and you're just too stupid to figure out what it is, that's not a hoax. That's you being dumb. There's a difference. A hoax is when you claim that something is one thing and in reality is another. What happened in Boston is just that the government is filled with idiots. That's what that is. So F them. And it's the best $2 million that the Turner Broadcasting ever spent, I'll tell you that.
The total settlement is $2 million. That is $1 million that goes to compensation for out-of-pocket
costs. The other million for the children.
And $1 million that goes for the communities to use as compensation for the events that occurred on Wednesday.
Compensation. Ah, I hate people. Just with everything in me. All right, fine.
Is it time for a break?
I don't know. Probably. Well, let me play us into the break here because I got this Purple Rain thing. It's 503-733-2970. What? You and Tim are sharing a little secret smile and then looking over
at
me.
We always share secret smiles. We just weren't able to see them before we face each other.
What, do I have something in my hair?
No, you're just... Come on, we know that you're the crazy one. We can give knowing looks to each other every once in a while.
Fine. Well, look, we can get Clyde back on the phone and we'll see who's crazy. I'm not talking about laser wars in space.
Do you have a therapist appointment today?
Yes, I do.
Cool.
What time?
What is that?
I was just asking.
What's that for?
No, you seem like you're doing a lot better.
I am. I'm feeling fine.
I'm going to be proud of you.
Feeling footloose and fancy free, you sons of bitches. So we're going to play a little Prince here. Do we have the Everclear audio? The cord?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
All right, so here's where I will come back. Tim Riley. The great thing, can I just talk for one more minute about how great the studio is? Because Tim doesn't have to leave the studio in shame every time we decide to do something else. It used to be that he had to vacate the. There was no room at the inn.
I leave to turn the radio on the station.
Just leave to make sure that the radio's playing everywhere so that everyone can be horrified. Here's what we'll do. We'll break. We'll come back. We'll play some of this Cord and Fatboy audio. I keep calling it, but it's our audio with Cord and Fatboy about Everclear from Friday. We've got Scotty J with the top five songs he uses to seduce the ladies. What else? Peter Carlin will join us. We'll have Jim Roop later on. This James the Furry will join us as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Back after this on AM 970.